as we speak, Tu B'Shvat is becoming a day of the past, at least for Tav Shin Pei Gimel. Thought it would be appropriate just to touch upon for a few minutes the basis for the Minhagim, or at least the basic Minhagim of Tu B'Shvat. We are well aware of the Minhag to eat fruit on Tu B'Shvat, and often when we encounter Minhagim, it's worthwhile asking ourselves how far back does any particular Minhag date? Is it a more recent innovation? Is it something which is far more, if you want to call it authentic, or has been subjected to the test of time? Where does it come from? How universal is it? So with regard to the minhag of eating fruit on Tu B'Shvat, the minhag is cited in the Magen Avraham, which certainly gives it a very, very significant degree of authority in Ashkenazi halacha. And the Magen Avraham in Simen Kuf Lamed Aleph, in the halachas dealing with when one does recite or not recite Tachanun, Sif Katan Tav Zayin, when the Shulchan Aruch tells us that we do not say Tachanun on Tu B'Shvat, the Magen Avraham writes, V'noagin ha'ashkenazim, that the Ashkenazim have a minog. Kind of ironic, because one thinks of often these minhagim as being primarily Sephardic in nature. This is a noagin ha'ashkenazim, says the Magen Avraham. Laharbos b'mine peros shel ilanos, to eat many different types of fruit. So says the Magen Avraham. Notice he does not make any mention of Shivas Haminim. That's also an interesting twist. The original quote of this minhag in Magen Avraham makes no distinction between Shivas Haminim, not Shivas Haminim. Magen Avraham says very simply, Laharbos b'mine peros shel ilanos, to eat many different types of fruit. Where does Magen Avraham in turn quote this from? How far back does this minhag go? Magen Avraham, as well as the Pri Chadash there on the very same Sif and Shulchan Aruch, both cite Sefer Tikkun Yisachar, not the Bnei Yisachar who lived later, but Sefer Tikkun Yisachar who lived earlier and is perhaps not as well known. I had personally not been familiar with the Sefer Tikkun Yisachar, but if you look it up, you'll find that it was written by Rav Yisachar ben Mordechai ibn Susan, published in Italy in the year 1579. So it takes us back to the 1500s. Rav Yisachar ben Mordechai ibn Susan, Tikkun Yisachar. And there, the exact quotation in the Sefer, and just to share with you the little bit of biographical info that I quickly gleaned about him today, he was ultimately a resident of Eretz Yisrael, although I don't think he originated there, but he came to Eretz Yisrael, was a Talmud of the Maharal Bach in Yerushalayim, a Talmud of the Beis Yosef in Tzfas, so living in Yerushalayim and Tzfas in the 1500s. Ironically, he himself seems to be a Sephardi, hence the emphasis in the quote that the Magen Avraham writes, and the actual Sefer itself in Tikkun Yisachar, he says, the Noagim HaAshkenazim, so this is a Sephardi Mechaber writing about the Ashkenazim, that their minig is Laharbos bo b'mine peros ilanos, l'chvod shmo shel yom. L'chvod shmo shel yom. In deference to the day. Now, as we know, Tu B'Shvat itself is significant in a halachic sense with regard to peros ilan, because the opening mission in Rosh Hashanah tells us that according to Beis Hillel, Chamisha Aser B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah le'ilan. Not as Avraham Chaim Noah points out, as some mistakenly assume, a Yom HaDin le'ilanos. That's not correct. It's not a Yom HaDin le'ilanos. It's a Rosh Hashanah le'ilanos. Which, although we normally associate Rosh Hashanah with Yom HaDin, that's not correct in this context. Rosh Hashanah le'ilanos means, as the Bar Tanur explains, le'inyan ma'aser peros. It's a halacha with regard to ma'aser. First of all, what type of ma'aser one takes from produce depends upon the year. Ma'aser Ani is taken in years 3 and 6 of the Shemitah cycle. Maaser Sheni is taken instead in years 1, 2, 4, and 5. So what year is a particular fruit considered with regard to what Maaser to subject it to? Well, that depends upon when the fruit started growing. As the Baratnur explains, the Gemara Roshan itself, Daf Yud Dalet, says as well, that the chanata of the fruit, which means either when the fruit tree first starts to blossom, or it means when the fruit themselves first start to appear on the tree, the chanata determines how we categorize this fruit. Is it from the previous year and subject, therefore, to the maisos of the previous year? Or is it of the current year and subject to the maisos of the current year? So what determines the cutoff point for the year of Maaser? That's what the Mishnah is telling us. Tu Bishvat, meaning fruits that start their chanata process before Tu Bishvat, are categorized as belonging to the previous year. Whatever the previous year was of the Shemitah cycle, Maaser Ani, Maaser Sheni, that's the year they belong to. If the chanata of a particular fruit starts after Tu Bishvat, it's the current year that the fruit belongs to, and it is subject to the Maasers of the current year. So when we say Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon is Chamisha Asher Bo, according to Beis Hillel, it's not a Yom HaDin. Rather, it is, with regard to Maaser, what year do we assume the fruit belongs to? Depends if the Chanata, the beginning of the growth of either the blossoms or of the fruit itself, occurred before Tu Bishvat, then it's the previous year's fruit. If it occurs after Tu Bishvat, then it's the current year's fruit. So that might be relevant to Gatzer Shmita too. Yes, correct. Yes, that is correct. But the Baratnur speaks only about Maaser Peros in this Peros in the Mishnah. There is a discussion with regard to whether that date is relevant for Shemitah as well. David Mandelbaum in his Birchas David cites from the Shlah and others who discuss how that might be relevant for Shemitah also. But the more common scenario would be Legabe Maaseros, each and every year, how you categorize the fruit as far as the year is concerned. And not just in terms of what Maaser to take, but there's also a din you can't take Maaser from last year's fruit on this year's fruit. You have to take Maaser only from fruit on fruit that is all the same year. So again, Tu Bishvat figures in that regard as well. So coming back to the Tikkun Yisachar, he says that L'chvot Shmo Shel Yom, because Tu Bishvat is a significant day with regard to Ilanos, Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos, therefore the Ashkenazim have the minog to be marbe bo b'mine peros. And again, like the Magen Avraham quoted, there's no indication in Tikkun Yisachar, who is the source of this minog, that there's any distinction between Shivas Haminim or not Shivas Haminim. Peros! Take out your apples, take out your oranges, take out your grapefruits, and be marbe b'mine peros. And that's exactly what the minog initially was. No mention whatsoever of Shivas Haminim. Of interest is, again, in Sefer Birchas David, he cites from Sefer Adnei Paz. This is written by the Rav of Altona and Hamburg, Rav Ephraim Heckscher. In 1743, he published his Sefer. So now we're jumping ahead another 150 years or so, 160, 70 years or so. And this is a Rav in Germany, in Ashkenaz itself. So in reference to the Magen Avraham's comment that the Ashkenazim have a minog to be marba mine peros on Tu Bishvat, Sefer Adnei Paz, writing in the middle of 1700, says, and he's in Germany, he says, Lo ra'isi v'lo shamati b'minog zeh. I haven't seen this minog. This is a minog Ashkenazim. I haven't seen it. So whereas the Tikkun Yisachar, Rav Yisachar ben Mordechai ibn Susan, writing in the 1500s, speaks about the minog Ashkenazim. In the mid-1700s, the Rav of Altona, Hamburg, Rav Ephraim Heckscher, says, I haven't seen this minog. I haven't heard the minog. He doesn't even know of its existence in Germany itself. Okay. One other source that, again, Sefer Birchas David cites is also a Sephardic source. This is from the Shevet Musar. Shevet Musar, Rav Eliyahu Cohen of Turkey, late 1600s, early 1700s. He writes in his Sefer Shevet Musar, Perek Tazayin, Bini, Heve Zohir Levarech al HaPeros B'chamisha Aser B'Shvat. Be very cautious to make a bracha on fruit on Tu Bishvat. Sheminog vasikinhu. It's a minog, an old minog of those who are very medactic bahalacha. So he's writing now roughly 100 years or so or more after the original source of the minog was printed, Tikkun Yisachar, and he's saying it's a minog vasikin already to make a bracha on peros on Chamisha Aser B'Shvat. Again, no mention of Shivas Haminim yet. No mention of that whatsoever. Just peros. Make a bracha on peros. Okay, so you have this minog now ironically found more in the Sephardic sources, and then from there taken to the Magen Avraham, but not something that the German Rabbanim were aware of, to be Mevarech and to be Marba Mine Peros on Tu B'Shvat. L'chvod Shmo Shal Yom, it's Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos. What might be a reason for the Minog? Why are we doing this ultimately? So in Sefer Adnei Paz, he cites that perhaps the reason is as follows. He says, maybe because it's a Rosh Hashanah le'ilanos, we are marbim beperos, to be mindful of that fact, and to daven for the peros. And he assumes that although in the Mishnah, as we pointed out, Rosh Hashanah le'ilanos does not mean Yom Hadin, but he assumes that perhaps there is some significance to the day. He says, with regard to Tu B'Shvat as well, maybe there is some sort of Dina de Peros on Tu B'Shvat. This is a suggestion. Again, say for Adnei Paz, 1743, some Din perhaps for the Peros on Tu B'Shvat. Maybe that's why it's worthwhile davening for the Peros. And therefore, by being Marba Mine Peros, we're mindful of the fact that I should daven for the Peros. Now again, it's somewhat puzzling why he associates a Yom HaDin with Tu B'Shvat, which in the Mishnah and Gemara is only a date for determining Meiser status and not a Yom HaDin per se. But nonetheless, he says, by being Marba B'Peros, we remember to Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos, and you daven for them, Shei Yisborchu HaPeros. So writes Sefer Adnei Paz. When I was looking for indication that there's a minhag to take Shivas Haminim, again, I can't say I know the earliest indication of that, but in Sefer Moed L'Chol Chai, Chaim Palagi, one of the Sfarad Shaposkim, writes as follows, that Yesh Noagin Dafka Shiva Mine Peros Dineshtabcha Behen Eretz Yisrael. Some have the minog Dafka Shivas Haminim. So again, if you look back in the original Makaros, no such distinction, just Peros in general. After all, Vashana Lilanos, I guess, is obviously in reference to Eretz Yisrael to Kaperos because it's in Eretz Yisrael that we're talking about Shivas and Isis, but it's not in reference to Shivas Haminim per se. So there's no initial reference to Dafka Shivas Haminim, but in this later Sfarad Shaposkim, Chaim Palagi, one of the prominent Sfarad Shaposkim, believe in the late 1700s, early in 1800s, I don't remember exactly the date in which he published the Sefer, but in his Sefer Moed L'Chol Chai, he writes of Yesh Nolagin Dafka Shiva Mine Peros Dineshtabcha Behen Eretz Yisrael. So again, so far the one reason we've seen suggested was by the Sefer Adnei Paz in Germany, mid-1700s, to be reminded of the need to be mispalel for the Peros. So writes Sefer Adnei Paz. Another suggestion, which is mentioned as to what the basis for the minhag is also cited in Sefer Birchas David, where he writes that perhaps the significance of the minhag and the reason for the minhag is as follows. He quotes from Sefer Pri Eitz Hadar, which is a Sephardic Sefer, I believe, from Italy, 1870, that exclusively deals with Tu B'Shvat. And he suggests that maybe the significance of eating these peros is bedafka to make a bracha, and by doing so properly, to bring down Shefa Bracha min HaShemayim. He suggests the focus is the bracha. The bracha on the peros is the focus of the minhag, to say the bracha with kavana, and then as a result, to be zocha to brachos min HaShemayim for saying the bracha properly. Maybe that's the basis for the minhag, he suggests. Others, again, Birchas David cites this as well, refers back to the famous Yerushalmi, with this we'll conclude, in Kedushin, that tells us that Osid Adam Litain Din V'cheshbon Al Koma Sharas Eino V'lo Achal. A person will be required to offer an accounting for that which he saw and did not eat, meaning there is importance to being nena from Olam Hazeh and giving Shevach to Kadosh Baruch Hu in exchange for that Hana, such as the Bracha Rishona and Achrona that we just spoke of. And the Yerushalmi encourages us to do so. And in fact, the Yerushalmi cites that Rabbi Elazar was so concerned for that concern that once a year, he would try to make a bracha on each and every food available to him to give hodah and shavach to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So once a year, perhaps Tu B'Shvat, Sfarim suggest, we try to be marvav mina peros to say the brachas properly and to give the shavach of hodah to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Shalom Kedushin encourages us to do.